Today, the market's game of chicken continues. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, the tech-heavy NASDAQ closed slightly higher on Wednesday in the US after strong Microsoft results boosted technology shares. But the S&P 500, like the Dow, fell on lingering concerns about a weakening US economy and the banking sector. Economically sensitive transport stocks had their weakest day in 11 months, and bank stocks fell as regional bank First Republic hit a record low. Investors have been jittery about the banking sector since the recent failure of two US banks. But Microsoft shares rallied 7.2% following upbeat quarterly earnings and sales, including of robust artificial intelligence products. Its results boosted shares in companies such as Amazon, which was up 2.3%, data analytics company Datadog, up 10.5%, and data cloud giant Snowflake, which closed 8.5% higher. And Alphabet's Google reported better than expected first quarter results and a $70 billion share buyback plan, but its shares closed down 0.1%. The market is looking for direction on where the economy and companies are headed. We've had some good earnings reports come out, but investors are realizing it's not sufficient to clarify the path forward, said Lisa Erickson, head of public markets at US Bank Wealth Management in Minneapolis. In fact, investors are waiting for more earnings reports and a key inflation reading, which will come out on Friday, as well as the Federal Reserve meeting next week. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.68% to 33,301, and the S&P 500 lost 0.38% to 4,055, while the NASDAQ closed up 0.47% to 11,854. The S&P 500 Technology Index was the sole gainer among the benchmark's 11 major industry sectors, adding 1.7%. At its peak for the day, it rose 2.8%. But the Dow Transport Average sank 3.6%, leading to the biggest two-day decline since May 2022. The index was hurt by economy jitters after Wednesday's weaker-than-expected capital goods data and Tuesday's weak United Parcel Services results. New orders for key US manufactured capital goods fell more than expected in March and shipments declined, suggesting that business spending on equipment likely remains a drag on first quarter economic growth. But earnings forecasts looked more optimistic after Tuesday evening's bullish report, with analysts now expecting a 3.2% contraction in first quarter profit for the S&P 500 companies, compared with expectations of 3.9% just a day before. And of the 163 S&P 500 companies that reported first quarter profits on Wednesday through to Wednesday, 79.8% topped analyst expectations. In a typical quarter, it's around 66% normally beat estimates. But the regional lender First Republic Bank shares sank 29.8%, and that hit a fresh record low for the second day in a row, and that helped push the S&P 500 bank index down 1.4% on the day. And in fact, my view is that the fate of First Republic Bank has become a game of chicken between the US government and the lender's largest rivals, with both sides seeking to avoid steep losses and hoping that somehow the other will save the troubled firm. As the bank's stocks keep lurching lower, dropping 49% on Tuesday and 30% on Wednesday, regulators have so far refrained from stepping in. They're betting that banks that deposited $30 billion into First Republic last month can hash out a deal to ensure the firm doesn't fail and take some of their money with it. Senior officials at the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation have even discussed whether to lower their private assessment of the bank, a move that would curb its access to a pair of Federal Reserve lending facilities. On the other side, executives at several big banks are balking at getting even more involved in a way that would lock in losses. Some expect that if they wait, they will get at least some of those deposits back and might fare even better than if they intervene, potentially throwing good money after bad. There is some nervousness about how Silicon Valley Bank went down, and maybe they'd like to see if First Republic can work out its problems itself, said Stephen Lubbin, a professor at Seton Hall University School of Law. Regulators are also probably worried that if this does not stop, who's next? That is, who comes after First Republic on the hot seat? And by the way, a spokesperson for First Republic declined to comment. First Republic's issues stem from its stockpile of loans at low interest rates, including an unusually large portfolio of jumbo mortgages to wealthy clients. Those debts have lost value amid Federal Reserve hikes, prompting some depositors to yank their money out. After the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank in March stoked concerns about the soundness of regional lenders, First Republic was left paying more for funding than it earned on many of its assets. That meant the firm faced what analysts predict would be at least a year of losses. But the bank does remain fully operational, and executives emphasised in an earnings report on Monday that it has more than ample access to cash to service clients. Still, its leaders acknowledged that they are looking for strategic options. The clock for striking such a deal began ticking louder late last week. At that point, US regulators reached out to some industry leaders, encouraging them to make a renewed push to provide a final solution, a private solution, to shore up First Republic's balance sheet. The call also comes with a warning that banks should be prepared in case something does happen. Actually, a number of rescue proposals have so far failed to come to fruition. Earlier this week, there was a report that First Republic was looking to potentially sell $50 to $100 billion of assets to big banks that would also receive warrants or preferred equity as an incentive to buy the holdings above their market value. And in fact, by Wednesday, the firm's advisors were privately pitching a similar concept in which stronger banks would buy bonds off First Republic's books for more than they were worth, so that it could sell shares to new investors. While that would mean booking initial losses, banks could hold the debts through to repayment and so be made whole. In that scenario, the proponents suggest that big banks might save money by ensuring the safety of their $30 billion in deposits and avoiding a special FDIC assessment if the regulator were to step in. But executives of five of the biggest banks, speaking on the condition they weren't named, according to Bloomberg, dismissed the notion of once again banding together to prop up First Republic, especially when it could mean paving the way for investors or a competitor to scoop up the firm at a bargain price. One expressed a willingness to participate only if regulators forced the group to take action. Several banks would prefer that, if it becomes necessary, the FDIC seize First Republic and sell it off. Such a resolution, they say, would be cleaner, even if banks lose money. Some have already taken reserves. And the group of banks accounted for most of First Republic's $50 billion of uninsured deposits at the end of the first quarter. But as depositors, they would be at the front of the line to recover money if First Republic were resolved. Two executives whose firms contributed $5 billion apiece in deposits last month said they would expect to at least retrieve some, though not all, of that money in a worst-case scenario. And across the industry, First Republic's quarterly earnings reported last Monday has come to be regarded as a disaster. The firm announced a larger-than-expected drop in deposits, then declined to take questions as executives presented a 12-minute briefing on the results. The shares promptly tilted into a dive in late trading that day, and altogether they're down around 95% this year. Industry executives said it's possible that regardless of the stock, First Republic can press onward indefinitely, and the FDIC has shown that it's in no rush to seize the firm and to take another multi-billion dollar hit to its insurance fund. For would-be rescuers, the collapse of SVB and Signature Bank offered an unfortunate reminder last month. Bidders can sometimes score the most lucrative deal by being patient and waiting to scoop up a bank or its assets once the agency intervenes. After those two lenders were sold off, both of the acquirers saw their stocks pop. But the point here is that nobody quite knows how many other banks are also in difficulty. And whilst everyone is focusing in on First Republic at the moment, there are probably at least 100 other banks in the US regional banks who are also in the same squeeze between higher interest rates and the loan books that they are holding. So this is going to play out not over the next few days, but over the next few weeks and months. And with the backcloth of a recession in mind, and you know, you've got to assume that this is going to play out like we expect now in the US, with a recession, more banks are going to get into more difficulty. And whilst it may well be that some of the larger players will be able to come in and collect assets later, or indeed, maybe even some of the non-banks and hedge funds will come in to asset strip, this is not good for the banking sector overall, nor good for the broader economy. And this is the real problem now. We've been trapped into a situation where the banking sector has become so large and its influence so great that when the wheels start falling off, the impact on the broader economy is quite profound. And by the way, whilst we're talking about the US here, I think you can argue the same in many other countries, including in the UK and in Australia. Small banks look like the potential upcoming victims of central banks' interest rate hike cycle. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.